How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about wrestling, and this week we are going to be recapping and reviewing the most recent Royal Rumble from World Wrestling Entertainment. It was held February 1st, 2025, from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Leonard, I am shocked and also happy that you were able to watch it.
I remembered it was on. We had no plans that night, believe it or not. And so I watched it. I will, with one caveat, I missed a couple chunks of the Women's Rumble, which we'll get to, but I don't think I missed anything.
No, we'll get there for sure. So there was a little over 70,000 people in attendance, 70,347. It's put down here. And this is the first Royal Rumble that has not taken place in the month of January. It aired on pay-per-view and live streaming, and it is the first WWE pay-per-view and live streaming event to air on Netflix in most markets outside the United States, obviously.
Oh, yes, because I watched it on Peacock, of
Right,
course.
as did I. And the first Royal Rumble to be held in a National Football Stadium. So it
I know
looks.
they held WrestleMania 8 at, no, that was Market Square Arena, wasn't Lucas Oil, correct? Yeah, I'd look that up.
Yeah, well, Lucas Oil strikes me as a new name.
Yes. It was whatever. WrestleMania 8 was in Indianapolis. I just don't remember the venue.
Yeah, and this also, this event set the record for, we'll obviously get to the full card here. Roxanne Perez set the record for the longest time spent in a single women's Rumble match at 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 47 seconds. The men's Rumble is also the record for the longest Rumble match ever held at 1 hour, 20 minutes, and 15 seconds. And yes, that includes the greatest Royal Rumble, which I checked just because I thought it might have been an error on Wikipedia's part.
Not counting, yeah.
And it is, that one was like a little over 77 minutes. So. There you have those stats. So, as expected, Leonard, the Women's Royal Rumble match was the one to start. And this was a card with only four matches, which is interesting to me.
And one match an hour.
So, let's get to the lineup of entrants here. I will run off these names quickly. Number one, Io Sky. Number two, Liv Morgan. Number three, Roxanne Perez. Number four, Lyra Valkyria. Number five, Chelsea Green. Number six, B-Fab. Number seven, Ivy Nile. Eight, Zoe Stark. Nine, Lash Legend. 10, Bianca Belair. 11, Shayna Baszler. 12, Bayley. 13, Sonya Deville. 14, Maxine Dupri. 15, Naomi. 16, Jada Parker. 17, Piper Niven. 18, Natalya. 19, Jordynne Grace. 20, Meeshin. 21, Alexa Bliss. 22, Zelina Vega. 23, Candice LeRae. 24, Stephanie Vacker. 25, Trish Stratus. 26, Raquel Rodriguez. 27, Charlotte Flair. 28, Julia. 29, Nia Jax. And at number 30, the returning Nikki Bella. And the winner of this match would be Charlotte Flair. And I predicted that before the match even started. I know I have no proof of that, but you just have to trust me, because I knew that there was one, possibly two big stars returning, Becky Lynch and or Charlotte Flair. I didn't, since I don't watch the show every week, I didn't realize until just before the show started that Charlotte Flair's return was publicized. That was a known thing. So she was always going to be coming back for this. And she's had a long, tough road, getting back to this point. But she won, and she's the first woman, I believe, to win it twice. So, Leonard, I'm going to pass it to you before I give my thoughts of what you saw of this, what you have opinions on.
All right, so I saw up to 12 or 13, and then I had to take my dog out, and then I came back and watched, like, I think it was 18, 22, and then my wife and I had dinner, and then I caught like 27, 28 to the end. And every time I left and came back, everything looked exactly the same. So it didn't seem like I needed to go back and catch what I didn't catch.
Right. And you didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think I said this last year, all the women seem so interchangeable. They all look the same. They all act the same. They all do the same kind of stuff. The two that really stood out to me was Ivy Nile and Jordan Grace because of their look, because of their size. I think they got some good moments. I like what they did with them. And I like the run that Roxanne Perez had. I liked her being there at the end. I think that was a good push for her. Other than that, nothing really caught my eye in this one. I will say on the Charlotte Flair winning, people online, a lot of people online are like, well, they should never gave it to Charlotte Flair because, you know, she's the big name that always wins. And then for the men's rumble, which we'll get to, well, they should never gave it to Jey Uso because he's nobody. So,
yeah,
what do you want? But well, I think here it would have worked. They would have flipped that formula. I think that an underdog winning here would have worked better than Flair coming back after more than a year on the shelf. I think maybe you give it to Perez after that run. Maybe you do give it to Nile or Grace after they eliminate Nia Jax with a power move at the end to really impress. Maybe Sky or Morgan run the table. Some, I think there were other stories you could have told and put over an underdog, and I think that would have worked better here than Flair, because I don't think she got a great reaction upon the win.
Well, no, she didn't, and she got an even worse reaction the next night on Raw. And, you know, look, I like Charlotte Flair. Now, what I think about her winning might be a little different, but as a talent, I think she's one of the best in the business. And if you wanted evidence of why I've said many times why wrestling fans are the worst, look at the clip of her on Raw, because they boo her almost out of the building. And it's not like she's there pushing her beer. She's there talking about how long she was on the shelf, how much of a struggle she had rehabbing her knee, how she didn't think she was going to come back. She's near tears, and then she's even more shaken up because of the reception she's getting, which clearly is shaking her up to the point where she has to keep pausing and comment on it. I felt for her, truly. I did. However, should she have won this? I don't think she needed to win it, personally. And, you know, while it was going on, I was talking to another friend about how, you know, we were talking about how this used to be, the Rumble used to be a launching pad for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody getting pushed to the next level. Whereas now, and, you know, the case could be made that this doesn't apply to the men's. We'll get there. But where now it's like almost like, okay, who's the biggest star? How can we make the biggest match at WrestleMania, regardless of, you know, who we think should be pushed? And that is what's happening with the women. And, you know, you have Charlotte Flair winning, and I agree with you. I think that somebody like Jordan Grace should have won, because she has made such an impact, no pun intended, at TNA, a promotion that not many people watch anymore, and has made appearances in WWE. She gets a reaction each time. She got a huge reaction at the Rumble because she gave an FU to Piper Niven, you know, showing how strong she is. She's a great talent, but WWE will do what WWE does, and they will push her as slow as molasses. And I hope it works. It doesn't always work when they push people slow like that. So I think that Charlotte Flair might have been the wrong choice here. But I also think, and this applies to both Rumbles, I don't know who exactly is structuring and laying out or booking, what have you, these Rumbles anymore. But the bloom is off the rose, in my opinion, because whoever's doing it now really doesn't have a sense of storytelling or pacing that we saw when you and I were growing up.
Right. Well, which was Pat Patterson.
Right.
A long time. And I was going to comment on that. I think both Rumbles, and we've seen this the past few years, they're very formulaic. You load up the ring with five or six people, then somebody runs in and they do all their signature moves on everybody, and then they fade to the back until it's time to get thrown out of the ring. And they're either laying in the corner or laying on the canvas, and they're not doing anything, because they're not told to do. You just don't do nothing until that thing we told you to do.
Right. And the people that do try to do stuff constantly get in trouble in the other way. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have like there is no like nobody knows what to do if it's not their moment, and it's so obvious when you watch it now. And like they used to build other feuds. It wasn't just about who won. Like when Hogan won twice in a row, it wasn't even about him winning. Like it was like all the other feuds were being built during that time, and then.
It was so usually when the Rumble was over, you knew four or five matches going for Mania that they were going to be doing
Right.
out of that. I know zero match. You got a couple vague ideas, but really they didn't do a whole lot in setting up. Well,
Right.
like
And with the women, they didn't really do
they didn't
anything.
do anything, and they could have done tons of stuff with the women that you had in there. I mean, Sky and Morgan started out. That could be a WrestleMania match for you. I like the idea of maybe Stratus and Flair eliminate each other, and then you can do kind of that legend, that generational legends match. Totally do something with Bayley. Bayley won last year, so whoever eliminates her, I mean, there's tons of stories.
Give the women that have been established other feuds that don't involve the title. Like, you can do that. Like, they have done that in other promotions. The women don't have feud or have feuds that don't involve titles. And yeah, I mean, and Trish Stratus was there, I guess, just because she's still physically able to do it. Like, she's come back and had her, kind of, old timers run already. Now here she is back again. And I, at number 30, I really didn't know who they're going to be. But honestly, and CM Punk had denied this beforehand on a podcast.
AJ Lee,
I thought for sure it was going to be her because she's the only one that has not returned. And it's Nikki Bella because, okay.
we got zero reaction.
Right.
This would even now, and I don't get it. They act like the Bella Twins are on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. They act like they're the greatest workers and the greatest talents and the greatest promos and the greatest things that ever happened. And they're lousy. They were always lousy.
And they were not good during a time when everybody in the women's division was not very good. So that is the Women's Rumble. I wouldn't really give it a super high rating, but there you have it. The next match, DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa against the Motor City Machine Guns for the Tag Team Championships. 2 out of 3 falls, a 2 out of 3 falls match that is 14 minutes. And this to me, when I knew that, I didn't know that this was going to be 2 out of 3 falls until the day of. And like a friend told me, and I was like, oh wow, that's great. This will be excellent. These
And
four.
there's a history of 2 out of 3 falls matches at the Rumble, if you go back and you
True.
look.
True. I was looking forward to this match, and it was such a huge disappointment, in my opinion. It just these two teams, I promise this is the only time I'm going to mention this. If you had them at a company like AEW, like they would be lighting it up. There might not be a storyline, but they'd be lighting it up. And here, not only did they not light it up, but there was like a run-in at the end by the Street Profits. Why? It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. Like, what are we doing?
And I hated that because the commentary had to over-explain it, because the Street Profits lost the belts to DIY, so they helped DIY win because they want to win the belts back from them, which don't you screw them more if you make them lose. No, I mean, and that storyline has happened before. I don't like it. I think it's a dumb storyline.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so DIY retained the titles here, and that would bring up the ladder match for the Undisputed WWE
Real
Championship.
quick before we leave that, I will say when the first fall happened in like less than 5 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is getting no time, which is too bad. I thought it was on paper, I was like, this should be pretty good.
And it in the falls that happened, like the first two, were moves that were really of no consequence. Especially the second one, which was just like a high knee or something like that. And it's like, we're not even trying to like make this believable. It's like, why during 2 out of 3 falls matches, which is a concept I like why are we doing it that way, where we're just going to have it be a nothing move that ends the fall? Like,
You know, one time, the this comes to mind is I think it was on a Clash of the Champions. There was a 2 out of 3 falls match between Ric Flair and Bobby Eaton, and they didn't have much time. So during the first fall, Bobby Eaton like blows out his knee,
right?
And then so they were able. So that's a story point. Oh well, this was 2 straight falls and short for Flair, because Flair took out the knee and was able to use the figure four. Right. So they're like, hey, we've only got 15 minutes. This is how we can figure this out. Where you're saying they didn't figure out anything. They're just like, well, we'll just do some stuff and
wait. Yeah, now they have to go 3 falls. Like he can't,
yeah.
If it goes 2 straight falls, the other team would certainly complain about that. So yes, the third match is Cody Rhodes against Kevin Owens for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. The Undisputed title and the Winged Eagle are suspended above the ring. It is a ladder match, 25 minutes and 5 seconds. Cody Rhodes would win this match, which I thought was solid.
Yeah, I liked it.
You know, the spot that ended the match looked gruesome and in a good way. Kevin Owens appeared on Raw on Monday, so I assume he's, you know, basically okay.
Yeah.
But it looked horrible. And
yeah, if he wasn't hurt, that was the best sell job I've ever seen, because he looked completely out of it. He looked like he didn't know where he was.
And you know, the Alabama Slam move is one that I think should get used more often.
Yeah, it's a great move.
And you know, I've never seen it happen on a ladder before. So,
I mean, it was super brutal, very violent. But we've seen a million ladder matches, but this one was so creative. I think with the spots and how they used the ladder, this was by far my favorite match of the night. And it had, and I think Owens and Rhodes has great chemistry. I think, of what I've seen, because I did see a little bit of Saturday Night's main event. I think this is probably the best feud that Cody has had since last WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the issue is, the overarching issue with Kevin Owens being in this spot is that the poor guy has lost at like the last 15 Rumbles. He's always in a championship match at the Rumble, and he always loses. And gosh, like, if there's ever a guy that deserves like a super long title run in that company, it's the guy that's been losing for you over and over again. And I realize they gave him the tag title match at Mania with Sami Zayn and all that, but he's clearly a very loyal company guy. So
yeah, and it means so much when you can keep jobbing him out and keep doing it. And the fans keep buying him as a legitimate contender and keep buying him as someone they want to watch. So.
Yes, that's a great point. The last match of the night is the men's Royal Rumble match. And let's go through the entrance here quickly. Number 1, Rey Mysterio. Number 2, Penta. 3, Chad Gable. 4, Carmelo Hayes. 5, Santos Escobar. 6, Otis. 7, Braun Breaker. 8, I Show Speed. 9, Sheamus. 10, Jimmy Uso. 11, Andrade. 12, Jacob Fatu. 13, Ludwig Kaiser. 14, The Miz. 15, Joe Hendry. 16, Roman Reigns. 17, Drew McIntyre. 18, Finn Balor. 19, Shinsuke Nakamura. 20, Jey Uso. 21, AJ Styles. 22, Braun Strowman. 23, John Cena. 24, CM Punk. 25, Seth Rollins. 26, Dominic Mysterio. 27, Sami Zayn. 28, Damian Priest. 29, LA Knight. And number 30 is Logan Paul, and the winner is Jey Uso. And I certainly didn't see that coming.
No.
And how we view it, we'll get there. But, like, you know, I thought going into this that this would be a spot that Cena was going to shine in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still think he's going to be in the main event. Because I think the logical choice now, by the time this airs, the decision may have been made. But my guess would be Jey Uso would probably challenge Gunther. Because Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes, I don't think is a face versus face match that they would want to go with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, did you see John Cena's promo, the post scrum, the media scrum promo?
Yes. He's already declared for the Elimination Chamber. And
that is one of the best John Cena promos I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was very good. And, you know, I love how talent can just declare for these matches. Yeah. Like,
well, I like how Cena said he declared for it. And then he's like, look, I've given everything to this company for like 20 some years. So, yeah, you're giving it to me because I said, which I kind of like the logic.
Yeah, I like that logic too. I just hope that somebody randomly declares for the Rumble in future years. Like Harvey Wimpleman, I've declared for the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Who's going to say no? Like, I think John Cena and Cody Rhodes is the match there because I thought going into the Rumble, Roman Reigns and CM Punk were kind of married for a match at Mania, and it seems like it might be that way. I don't know. You know, Logan Paul was the one that eliminated Punk, so I really don't know what they're going to go with there. But yeah, so this was a surprise to me. I think that we talked about with the women, them kind of just pushing the established legend. Well, here they are certainly trying to push somebody that hasn't quite gotten to that upper echelon yet. Yes, Jey Uso has been in numerous main events. He was in a Hell in the Cell with Roman Reigns and, you know, a match at SummerSlam with him as well. So, yes, he's been in these spots before. And I think you can tell me if you disagree, Leonard. I think that this is why you're seeing a divisive reaction to Jey Uso being in this spot. Because I think logically you would have people say, okay, wait, we've seen this guy in these spots before and it was kind of lukewarm. So now we're putting him in this bigger spot because everybody loves his theme music.
and the yeet.
Yeah. So this will be the battle of the theme musics because.
You asked me before about who's more over, Cody Rhodes or his theme music. I think Jay's yeet is more over than he is.
Yeah.
I think if you threw Jimmy out there and didn't tell anybody and just had him scream yeet, people wouldn't know the difference.
So what did you think of this Rumble match?
Well, when we got down to the six left and they really hyped that six, I thought it was either going to be Reigns versus Punk at the end and Punk calls in his favor with Paul Heyman to win. Or it was going to be Cena and Paul, and they tease Paul winning. So when Cena eliminates him, it's a bigger pop because people can't stand him.
Right.
So that's where I thought they were going. I was very surprised with Uso. Like I said earlier, I think this is the one where if it's Punk or Cena, I think that's logical. People would have been fine with that. I think, yeah, the blowback on Jay is a lot of what you've said. They've had him in these big spots, and I don't think he's proven himself in the big spots and the big opportunities he's been given. Last year, Jimmy and Jay were given a showcase match at WrestleMania, and it was considered by many to be the worst of the weekend.
Yeah.
But the thing now with the two nights and the different belts, you can hedge your bet. You can have one a little lower and try to push the other. So I definitely think we're going Cena Rhodes. One thing I hated, I did like the all this stuff on the outside with like Punk and Reigns and Rollins. But while that's going on, you have Cena and Paul and Uso dead in the ring.
They are not moving for what feels like a half hour.
Yeah, they're laying there.
That is ridiculous to me.
Like, and what's even worse is that Paul jumped up, eliminated Punk, celebrated, and then took a nap. Like he was up, he was physically up and cool, and then he just fell back down.
Like that's what I mean. Like you didn't have these things happen back in the day. Like you watched the '92 Rumble, and I showed my daughter the '92 Rumble.
I was going to mention go back and watch the '92 Rumble or the one with Austin McMahon. I think that was 97 or 98. I don't remember the year on that one. Watch those two.
Yeah, yeah. You have like the big showdown at the end with all those guys. And, you know, like you said, there's other guys that are just there. And at one point, you know, I'm talking at the house and I'm like, you know, everybody's like, is so-and-so still in it? I'm like, yeah, they're just laying there. Like,
yeah. Well, they did that too. I think it was it Breaker and Strowman had like a big face off and Penta's taking a nap in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Speaking of Penta, a big faux pas that, you know, everybody I was with noticed right away, that Penta went over the top rope and both feet.
Yeah.
Touched the floor. And yeah, that's, you know, and the commentators didn't mention it after that, you know, and here's the thing, like, he was in it for over 40 minutes and they mentioned that stat when he got eliminated. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't see any reason why they couldn't have just been like, have a referee there that's like, sorry, you're out. You know, like, what was he doing those 40 minutes that was super important? Like, he had already had his little back and forth with Ray that, yeah, you know, was cool. But, like, other than that, nothing. So just have a referee say, sorry, you touched, you're out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That's my
opinion. Two more things I want to talk about here. One is I show speed. So Akira Tozawa gets knocked out, and they have to have someone just get in. And Triple H is like, hey, you standing over there, get in the ring. So this guy is some random podcast dude who's hanging out with
associated with McAfee's group, I believe.
Okay.
Or Logan Paul's group, excuse me.
Logan Paul's people, okay. Hanging out in the back, podcaster, wasn't going to be in the Rumble, has music and an entrance video.
Yeah.
Why does he have music and an entrance video when nobody know he was going to do anything?
Why is this the guy they chose? Like, I, you know, and like, I'll give him a minuscule amount of credit and say that he took the spear from Bron Breakker like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I'll give him that. And then like Otis put him through the table or over the table.
Yeah, they protected him. Because when Bron Breakker lifted him up over his head, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to have a really bad night, you know, but yeah, Otis caught him really well and like hoisted him and he landed all right. But yeah, so like you could see it coming when Tozawa got taken out. Like you knew that they were gonna, and they were following Tozawa back into the locker room.
Yeah, I was like, they're only doing that because they're gonna replace him with somebody. And for half a split second, I thought it was gonna be Hunter because they were showing him, and I thought he was just gonna, you know, undo the tie and get out there, and the place would have went nuclear.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it would have gone crazy. But, you know, we don't want to see Hunter do a Randy the Ram Robinson in the
room. Right, right, right. We don't know quite where his heart's at. So
right. So the other big part of this match that is causing more of a stir than I think it needs to.
Yeah, this is the other thing I was going to mention that you had sent me. But go ahead.
Yeah, so the news coming out of it was that Drew McIntyre and apparently others as well were unhappy that there was a certain star that was trying to, quote unquote, get all of their stuff in at the expense of others in the ring. And, you know, nobody was really listed for a while as to who and what was happening. You know, but it seems, based on the footage, that when Damian Priest is trying to get Drew McIntyre and I forget who else out, they crash into Logan Paul and LA Knight, who are trying to get their own moment in, and it causes this brief kind of, you know, collision, so to speak.
Yeah, they bump into each other.
And that was it, you know, and I guess what I've heard was that the moment between Priest and McIntyre was supposed to get more of a focus, which, you know, if it was Drew McIntyre who was upset about this, to me it sounds a little diva-ish because it's like Priest and Drew McIntyre, you know, is not the Legends match that is going to be lighting up the box office sales.
That is a maybe third or fourth on night one.
Right. So, you know, I don't see anything really egregious about what happened. Maybe LA Knight was trying to get a moment in a little bit too long and the timing was off. Oh, well, to me, that would get, you know, slap on the wrist talking to. But
yeah, when you have that many people in the ring, and again, what we were talking about, you should be doing stuff.
There should be more structure. If this, if there were more moments planned out, like, why did LA Knight try to get that moment in? Well, because he has a history with Logan Paul. That's why that was going on. It wasn't.
So they're working together. And again, if you watch the old matches, the dudes they're fighting on the ropes or fighting in the corner. They have history with each other. You find the guy you don't like and you work with that dude, you know, right. The guy you had the feud with. That's logical. I would actually side more with Paul and Knight in this than Priest and McIntyre, because it's like, oh, well, they took away from my big moment. Oh, so they can't do anything because you have to do everything. I would say that this was a small, tiny thing that maybe they're blowing up on purpose now because they think they can get something out of it. I think it's very much in McIntyre's character to be whiny about it and to be butt sore about it. And maybe that's going to lead to, maybe it'll be Priest McIntyre versus Paul and Knight. Or a four-way with them, or something of that nature.
And
so I think they're just maybe now just kind of throwing it out against the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, who knows? And like I said, who knows what feuds are going to come out of this. But as far as the main events go, you know, I kind of listed what my predictions were.
Yeah, and we'll see what I don't like that they have the Elimination Chamber, because now it seems to be, well, the Rumble, forget it. The Elimination Chambers will figure everything out.
Yeah, like that's, you know, because in Cena's promo was good, but it's like as soon as the Rumble was done, it's like, okay, good job, Jey Uso. Elimination Chamber. Cena's coming. Like he's
just
there. It's like
right. Everyone's looking at the Elimination Chamber. I don't think you should have a February or March or whatever. You know, back in the day, you had the Rumble, and then you would just build.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But now, like, and for a while there, the Elimination Chamber looked like it was going away because there were only so many venues that
it could hold it.
The structure.
It's so big. Yeah.
But now it's kind of come back again in a big way. And now it's like, again, the staple of, you know, oh, we have one number one contender. We need to establish a second one. So, you know, it's just, you know, even though face versus heel, Jey Uso versus Gunther makes sense in terms of a pro wrestling approach. Like, if you're winning the Rumble, like, why wouldn't you just challenge the top dog? Like, you know, that wouldn't that be just the given? Like, you know, maybe, and I'm sure Jey Uso has or will, depending on when anybody's watching this, explain why he's challenging whoever he's challenging. But I don't know.
I think maybe how you make that work is have Gunther cut a promo on, well, Jey Uso is going to pick Cody Rhodes because he can't beat me and he knows it, and he's stupid if he picks me, and basically goad him into picking him. I think that would work.
That's an old school way of doing it.
Yeah,
will work. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm old. You know, when we talk about the Elimination Chamber, I don't know if I ever told you in that long term fantasy booking thing I did, and I'm earning Mid South now. In a very traditional early 80s way. But when I was doing kind of a crazy WCW thing at one point, I did an Elimination Chamber with like Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. And I think Flair was in it. But I had Savage do the elbow off the pod.
And nice.
It was fun. It was fun to write an Elimination Chamber. So.
And, you know, on a random note about the 92 Rumble, because I did watch that this week.
Yeah.
There was a moment we're talking about moments that were stolen in the one that just happened.
Yeah.
A moment that almost happened in the 92 one. And I think I noticed this before, but I noticed it more this time. At one point you have Piper and Hogan in the ring at the same time. And there's a moment where Piper is like stalking right behind Hogan, like really giving him a stare down. Hogan's in the corner with his back to him, beating on somebody else. And Piper's like staring at Hogan like he's going to go and confront him, which after all those years would have been a cool moment to see. Yeah. But then somebody puts a shirt over Piper's neck and he goes off and does whatever he wants. And I could be wrong, but it looked like that was going to be a moment there.
I'll have to go back and watch that again. But you know, there was one point in that 92 Rumble, you have to go back and look. I think there were like six or seven Hall of Famers.
It was a stacked card for
You
sure.
had half that. I think half that Rumble or is in the Hall of Fame now. But I think at one point you had Piper, Roberts, Hogan, Flair, Savage, Rude. I mean, this goes
you'll
on.
Find this funny. So yes, most of the names are people that we know, and like the names that my daughter didn't know, I was able to be like, oh, that was so and so. But then in the middle of all that, out comes the Berserker.
No.
And my daughter's like, who's that? And I was like, oh, his name's the Berserker. And she's like, why is he doing this and saying
Hus.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what explanation am I gonna? That's the way Viking talked. I don't know who this is. But anyway, that was just a funny moment at my house.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to watch something like that with a kid and explain to them who it was. You know, all my sister's kids are older now, but Madison used to go to shows with us and would watch wrestling, but I don't think we ever watched any of the older stuff with her.
Well, let us know what you thought of this year's Royal Rumble. Yay or nay. Overall, I would give it a thumbs down.
Yeah, I would.
You know, it just and not based on the winners necessarily, but just based on the quality of the Rumble matches.
Yeah.
The championship match was good. But other than that.
Yeah, I'd give that 4 stars. Everything else I'd give maybe 2, 2.5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Right. You know, right in the middle.
Yeah. So let us know in the comments if you agree or disagree. And, you know, let us know if you remember the moment I talked about the 92 Rumble. Check out our other episodes, Segment Surgery, Stupid Questions, Random Match Reviews. We are also available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the like button below, subscribe to our content. And for Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next week.